difference. We are fortunate that we have got the man body. Man body is the highest rung in all creation. And in man body only we can know God. The God to whom we want to approach is already in this man body. Man body is considered to be the true temple of God. Because God resides in every heart. And we also reside in the same temple. We both of us, our own self and God, reside in this very man body, which is the true temple of God. But pity it is that we cannot speak with God. To see God or to find God or to converse with God, we have to just enter this laboratory of the man body. And this a wonderful house we live in. Macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. We have great possibilities awaiting us in this man body. And that is what, when we know ourselves, we know God too, and we just can traverse into the different planes of the macrocosm and reach the true home of our Father. So these are the possibilities that are awaiting us, but unfortunately we never had paid any attention to our own self. Man in three aspects. It has the physical body, it has intellect, and it is spirit in man, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, or conscious entity. We have given food to the body, and we have become physically strong. So we have also given food to the intellect, and we have become intellectually strong. We have made wonderful inventions which are before us. But all the same, what food we have given to our own self, until we give food to our own selves, which is conscious entity, we have no spiritual health. On the spiritual health depends the health of the mind and body both. So we have to consider what is that bread of life by giving which we can become spiritually strong. As I told you, we have given the food of reading and writing and just drawing inferences at the intellectual level, thinking so many ways, that has given us intellectual health. We can think out in so very better ways. We have given food to the solid food, to the solid body, physical body, and we are physically strong. So, until we come to know what is the true bed of life or the water of life, which if given to the soul, we can become spiritually strong. For this you will refer to the scriptures that are with us today. We have got references to these things, but we have simply ruminated over them, never gone into them to understand what is what. I'll give you some instances from the different scriptures. Christ went to a well to have a draught of water. He met there a Samaritan lady who was carrying a pitcher full of water over her head, and he asked her to give water. On account of inferiority complex, she said, "Well, we are Samaritans. You people have no connection with us. Why are you asking for water from us?" And the Christ said, had she known who it was who had asked for water, she would have given him. This water which she carries, if you drink, that quenches the thirst for a while. Again man thirsts, again and again. Had she come to me, I would have given him what? The water of life. If there is some water of life which can be given by Christ-like people alone, in the religions we have joined, you see, we have our scriptures there, they refer to these things. We have simply considered out the very elementary steps and the preparatory steps to how to have certain form, certain badges of a certain religion, or how to say prayers, or how to perform certain rites and rituals, and that ends there. But we have to read the scriptures, and we should try to understand the scriptures, what they say. Scriptures are what? They are fine records of the experiences what the masters had in their life with God and in knowing themselves. So, what they said, they saw, they experienced and then said. So, if you now want to understand the true import of the teachings, what they said, or what reference they made in their scriptures, we must know, must come by sit at the feet of somebody who has that experience, that way of living. Similarly, you find we simply interpret these things at the level of the intellect. And that is why we are not able to do full justice to the work. Again, you find in the scriptures, in other scriptures too, you find the same thing. In the Vedas, in the Mohammedan literature, it is called a water which gives life, Abhayama. Of course, it is in some different language. In the Vedas, you find it as a somras. Such a life which gives, such a water which gives life to everything. And what it is for mask. masters, other scriptures now, they tell us, he says, that what is that water of life? Guru Amar Das tells us that if you just come in contact, your soul comes in contact with the God pervading power, which is the cause of creation and controlling all creation, the God in action power, that is conscious. And your soul is conscious. So that if you come in contact with that, only then that the water of life which will give you life. And you drink that water, then you will be accepted at the door of God. And you will be one with that. But this is such a water of life which is the panacea for all ills, for the go to say. But that is demands that can be had only at the feet of a mat. As Christ said, had she come to me, I would have given the water of life, by drinking which his thirst would have been quenched forever. So this is some water which is to be given by the masters. Again and again they refer to it. When you drink it, the same thing Guru Nanak says, that the water of life or the elixir of life which can give us an everlasting life, that is by drinking which you can have everlasting life. The same words I tell you, in different languages, of course, given by the same. Again, you find in the Bible too, Christ said, I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partaketh of it has everlasting life. And the same thing you find again in other scriptures. I am quoting these things to you only to show that you can have everlasting life only by coming in contact with God. By coming in contact, who has to come in contact with God? That is our own self. We are conscious entities. We are embodied souls. But our souls are under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of the outgoing faculties. And we are identified with the outside things so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So unless we liberate our souls from mind and outgoing faculties, and our attention, which is the expression of our soul, which is just engrossed, diffused into the outside things, unless that is withdrawn from there, and we come up, the outgoing faculties or senses, we can come in contact with that water of life or the bread of life. So this is the food which if given to our soul, we can become spiritually strong. Similar references you find in other masters' scriptures, you see. They tell us, if you rise above this body has got 9 doors, 9 apertures. You shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven. You close, you draw your attention from the 9 doors, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth and other joints and organs. You withdraw within, there is a 10th door also. that the door which leads from the body to enter into the kingdom of God. That we call the tenth door, and that lies where? That lies at the seat of soul, at the back of the iris, between the two eyebrows. If your soul is with all that's commenced in darkness, of course, but when that is opened, you enter, you have access into the kingdom of God. And here you get contact with light of God and the sound principle of God. So this is the bed of life. What is in there? He says there is light also, and there is very sweet music of the spheres going on. And that is the two water of life, or the true bread of life, by eating which your hunger is appeased forever. By drinking the sweet symphony of which your thirst is quenched forever. So this is the bread of life. This is the water of life. That is within us, but we cannot come in contact with it until we withdraw from outside and rise above body corruption. How to withdraw from outside and how to rise above body consciousness, this is a practical subject. For all Master tells us they need somebody who is competent to help us to withdraw from outside in doors, spirit currents from the body, up to the seat of the soul in the body, or say rise above senses, or say learn to die so that you may begin to live. These are the words we find in the scriptures. But pity it is that we have only ruminated over them, never gone into the true import, what they really mean. And this true import can be given only by those who have an access to it, who have the same experience, or who are on the way. So what they tell us, intellectual people simply define it, what is the bed of life? Well, it is in Christ. What is the light? God is light, that is intellectual light. Well, that is substantial, something which can be experienced at the feet of the Master. So unless we come across the Master, we cannot have that experience, although that is already within us. That is why it is said, kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. So long as your attention is just diffused into the world through these outgoing faculties, well, you have no access to it. We must withdraw our attention from outside, enter this laboratory of the man body, and rise up to the level of the eyes, at the back of which the two seats of the soul is there. Then you find this bed of life and have the water of life. This is the gift of a Master. And you'll find only coming to a Master will not only do. Guru Nanak says, O man, the water of life for which you have just come into the world and got a man body, that is the source of all happiness, all joy, all bliss. You can have that only at the feet of a Master. He says, you have joined various religions for that very purpose. And my evening talk, I was just laying before you what is meant by spirituality. Spirituality means knowing oneself liberating it from the tentacles of mind, you know, good faculties, just withdraw from the body at the back of the eyes and have a look into the beyond, to come in contact with the God in the expression power, which is God is light, and God is sub-principle. So he says, remain in whatever religion you are, but unless you rise above the body consciousness, you cannot have that gift. Although it is within you, and that also requires the help of some master to bring you up the body level, up to come to the eye level. He says, remain in some religions because you see, outer social bodies of religions have to do with our physical bodies only. We bear badges of those different schools or colleges of religions we have joined. We read those scriptures and also we say prayers. And further, we perform certain rites and rituals. These all relate to the man body, physical body. To remain in physical body, doing all these things, you may be very regular, you may be saying prayers daily, you may be performing rites and rituals without any break day to day. You may be reading scriptures only. You may understand what is what even to be able to sit at the feet of somebody who knows the way. Still, by reading alone or performing these things, don't boast of it until you rise above body consciousness and have this gift of water of life and the breath of life. And that can be had, remain in some religions. To remain in some religion is a blessing. If you don't remain, there will be corruption, or you will have to raise another religion. There are already so many religions. They have already multiplied in so many. Well, the religions that have already stood the test of times, we should remain there. But just rise above according to the teachings given by the masters who came from time to time in different religions. And they said the water of life is there and the bread of life is there. You will have it when you rise above the body consciousness. So they say, while remaining in your own religions, you rise above body consciousness and the religions will only end with your physical body. When you rise above physical body, what you are? Your conscious entities, your conscious beings. You are a drops of the ocean of all consciousness. You are of the same essence, of the same religion as that of God. They say remain there but rise above where you are already one. We are all children of God, brothers and sisters in God. So for that reason all masters tell us that this is the gift of master. I just opened the Bible, you see, and so on the very page, what connection we should have with the master. There it is, John chapter 15. We should, as Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That everybody knows. Keep our commandments means to live by the words what the Master says. But here is something where all scriptures have reference to those things. We simply read them and pass on. He says there, I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. I am the two wives and my father is husband man. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that it may bring forth, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. So it means, so long as the branches are embedded in the vines, they bear fruit. When they are cut off from the vines, they cannot bear fruit. He said, I am the two vines. How you can be embedded in the vines? By engrafting. You cut it out and put the branch of some other tree, even you put it in some other tree, and they become all two into one. You see? Similarly says, you abide in me. How can you abide in him? Whom you remember at heart, naturally the reaction takes place to whom you remember. They say, how you can abide in the Master, you see? So he goes on further to say, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He says, I have spoken a word to you which is the cleansing power, which can burn away all sins, all iniquities, all infirmities, which is the bread of life and the water of life. Abide in me and I in you. How clear was that? Abide in me and I in you. When you remember somebody, that will react in him. When that will react there, he will again react in you. So that becomes receptivity. Such a disciple becomes one with the Master. You are in him and he is in you. First you have to obey the commandments he gives, live up to them. And the second one is, you abide in him just as a branch is just abideth in the vines. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. You follow? No? Who can have that bread of life and the water of life? Who not only lives up to what he says, but he also abides in him. And how to have the sweet remembrance of the Master at heart? That sweet remembrance will react in the Master. And when he reacts there, you are remembered, and again he remembers that reaction in you. Guru Arjan puts a question. If a disciple remembers his Master all the time, what does the Master do? Master is not a man. Man body he is God. But in him he is conscious. He sees, I and my Father are one. He has no more to remember anybody, but he is conscious that he is one. What does he do? He remembers his disciples. Those disciples who remember him, react in him. In this way you develop receptivity. And by receptivity what happens? You put the same question to the Master. He may be living at hundreds of miles away. And go to the disciple, put him the same question, and you will see they will speak the same words. That's due to their dwelt, you see. They have become the mouthpiece. Disciple becomes the mouthpiece of the Master. The Master speaking to him. This is how you have got the bread of life, and what is he? Christ, I am the bread of life, and all Masters say, we are the bread of life. And what was that bread of life that had been defined? world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. What is world? You find in St. John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and Word was God. And the whole creation came into being after the Word, you see. So what is world? It is, God is worldless, nameless, absolute. When it came into being, into expression, into action, that God into action power, or the God into expression power, is called world. So that God in action power manifested at some human form, that is called the Master. So true Master is God Himself, who resides in every heart. When He manifests Himself at any human form, that is the God in Him, the manifested God in Him, is the true Master. Of course, we have regard for the human form at which that God power manifests. You find what He says? I am the true vine. As a man, He says, He feels the God is in Him. He and Father is one. He is conscious co-worker of the divine plan. He knows it is He speaking, He is working all the while. So we can have that water of life, or the bread of life, by drinking which we can thirst no more, by eating which we can hunger no more. So further on He goes, say, I am the vine. Again, when you want to press further some point, that repetition sometimes comes. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So this gift of the water, of the bread of life, what? This is a gift of God in man, who gives you free. All gifts of God are free. And this is also a gift from Master, the God in Him, to the disciple, which has the power to enliven the life in Him. You see? Guru Nanak defines who is a dead man and who is really alive. And he says, only he is alive, O Nanak, in which God has become the enlivening power of the soul. The soul that has become the mouthpiece of God, or the switch which is connected with the powerhouse, that electricity of the powerhouse is working through him, is in tune, in contact with them. So unless we have that contact by receptivity, we cannot bear forth much fruit. You can remain a religious man. You can have all scriptures by heart. You can have all the world literature stuffed in your brains. Well, just like so many libraries are there. They all give reference to this thing. But this thing you can have only by living up to what the Master says, the first thing, and the second is by developing receptivity. His words should abide in you, that's the first thing. And you should abide in Him. Only then you will have this gift of bread of life and the water of life. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. That is, he is dead. You see, the same words Guru Nanak said the same what he is saying. When a branch is cut off from the tree, naturally that withers and dries up and used for firewood. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. This is what is meant in the biblical literature, that soul dies. Actually it does not die, but it becomes withered, you see. That is cut off from the Lord, from the God in him. If ye abide in me, again he says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And ask anything, you will have it. In all things, see, you ask and shall be given unto you. You knock, it shall be opened unto you. Only then, when you come in contact with it. First of all, there will be no desire left. Oh, Mr. tell us, what is that by knowing which? Nothing more left to be known. So he says, then, first of all, you will never have any desire whatsoever. If at all any does strike you, there arises you, that will fulfill the desire. Herein is my Father glorified, and ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Such like disciples can have the water of life and the bread of life. As the Father now, he goes further. How to develop this receptivity? Then he says, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. In love only, you see, you remember somebody. What is love? For whom you have got love, he is constantly in your heart. Always. You may not be expressing his words, but you are something dragging you from within. That constant remembrance is there. And in which the heart in which such a state, develops, how can in that heart, other than him whom he loves, abide there? If at all anybody remembered only for the sake of whom he loves, you see. So if we love God, we love the others for the sake that God is in him. Not for the level of forgetting him and loving something else. So he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. How to abide in his love, you see? Well, keep up the commandments you are given. What does he say? He says, don't think evil of others. Even in mind, word and deed, you must be truthful. Never tell lies, never conceal, don't use up others' rights, don't say sarcasms, have something else in your mind and something else in your mouth. You say something now, and behind you say something else. Be true to your own self. You can deceive others, but not the God in you. So what I always impress is to be true to one's own self. So this is what requires, or love requires, you see. Then what are his commandments? Be chaste in word, thought and deeds. Live up to what the scriptures say. Scripture, those who are married, scriptures say marriage means taking up a companion in life to be with you in weal or woe, and both help each other to know God, for that's the highest aim of a man's life. Getting children might be one duty, not 100% duty. And about it says, you love thy wife as Christ loved the church. So he wants all of us to keep up to his commandments. And what he says, love God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor. Other masters say, God, love thy God and love all creation. There is no place where God is not. So love is the thing through which you can have the sweet remembrance and the constant remembrance. You dream of it, you see. And when you go into a very fast sleep, you reverberate without knowing, you see, the same things will be coming out of your mouth. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That will give you more love from day to day. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, follow me. I live up to the commandments of my Father. And similarly, you love, abide by the commandments of the God in me, of the Father in me, he says. So these are the things, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full. This is how you have pleasure of the Master. When you just live, take the example of there are so many sons. A man has got 3-4 sons. One man just lives according to the commandments of the Father, never disobeys. He simply follows what his intentions are. Others obey only when they are told, or even that willingly, not willingly. And some who do not obey. Which son will be the best of all? Those who read the intentions of the Father and without saying, without any inclination given, he lives up to that. After every son knows what his Father wants. Every disciple knows what his Master wants. Should he repeat every time, every day that very lesson? Wise man is one who hears the word of the Master and keeps in his heart of hearts and lives up to it. If you do that, you will win the pleasure of the Master. And what will Master do? When Father, excuse me, leaves the body, what does he do? He gives the keys of the whole thing to the Son who is obedient, who lives up to his commandments. So this is what Guru Nanak said, for the purpose of having the water of life, or the bread of life for which you have come into this world, is in the hands of the Master. Go to him, remain where you are, never mind, by living a religious way of living, that will prepare the ground, you see, when you surrender your whole self to the Master. That is why Christ and all our mothers say, Master say, leave all and follow me. What does he mean? He said, by following him means not to leave homes and everybody should leave and follow him. You see, where, excuse me, where he will give them accommodation to live. To follow means to surrender their will, you see, according to his wishes, not as a slave mind that, but as a friend. You find this thing further. I just open it. This is my commandment, that ye have one and love one another as I have loved you. And further what he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. Love knows service and sacrifice. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you, you see, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what his Lord doth do it, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. So whenever masters come, they don't want to make a slave of you, they address you as friends, so that you may know what he says. A friend can know a friend better. A slave cannot know a friend. So whenever masters come, they do not make a slave of you, but they give you equal rights. They say, I am a man like you. Here are my words. Abide with them. You abide in them, and you abide in me. So this is how this receptivity is developed, by living up to what the masters say, and also by developing receptivity and abiding in the master. He takes you as equal, as friends. So for that, what is required? So you have known what is meant by the water of life or the bread of life. How can you partake of it? Only by developing receptivity. As you think, so you become. When His Word made flesh, then Word will come in you. You read that Word in Him, you see, not the flesh or the body. So these are some things which are given in the form of parables to make you understand what is what. And for that thing is required, you see, the pure lives. Unless you live up to what He says, unless you abide by the words what He utters, you see, and you live up to them, you cannot have first step. Then the second step you can have only when you learn to abide in Him. So for that, what is required now? You saw the whole curtain is the mind between us and God. Soul is of the same nature as that of God, but soul is under the control of mind. And mind is led away to the outgoing faculties, to the outside things, and we are given up to the pleasures of the outside. So unless mind is stilled, you cannot have this bread of life. You find in the scriptures, they say, be still, physically and in mind and intellectually. If you do that, and know that He is God, you find that's a curtain between me, between us and the God. One saint says, if you have a mind to know God, you have made up resolute will to know God, then just put one step on your mind that is still it, and the next step that you will take that will enter the house of your Father. So mind is the what a curtain or the impediment lying between man and God. Now how to withdraw mind from outside? Every time outside things, the outgoing faculties, eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin, these are five organs of sense through which five senses work: sight, audition, smell, taste and touch. Always we get impressions from outside. The subconscious reservoir of our mind is overflowing with the impressions we receive from outside. We see dreams of that very thing. We reverberate unknowingly those very things which are overflowing within us. So how to withdraw mind from the outgoing faculties? If you know that is only by stilling it. And to still the mind, there are ways and ways and many ways. We have been seeking so far, God in outside things. Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. It is within you. So long as you are engaged with the pursuits which relate to the outgoing faculties, you cannot find it. It is only by liberating the soul or analyzing the soul from mind and withdrawing mind from the outgoing faculties that you can know who you are, what you are. You can come in contact with that. This elixir of life or the water of life is already within us, and the retarding factor is only mind. If mind just is directed to the outgoing faculties, we become worldly. If mind is directed to the soul above, we become spiritual. So this is what we have to learn in this, on the way to God. God is the very soul of our souls. God is the very power that is controlling us in the body. If you have mind, you will find that one thing I tell you. This is natural way. If you are sitting in a absorbed state, your attention is just absorbed in something, your outgoing faculties do not work. Because the attention, which is the expression of the soul in the body, is engaged in something, engrossed, absorbed. So these faculties have strength from the attention when they are that is attached with the senses. And similarly, mind also gains has strength from the soul. When you are absorbed, even you will find your mind doesn't work. You go into your reverie. So mind is the only thing standing in our way back to God. The Master says, "Oh mind, be still." You would like to have a draught of the water of life. That you would have, well, what is that water of life? As I told you, God is light. And God is sound principle that you come in contact when you are still mentally and physically. So that is the thing. It is already within us. Like the parasitical plant, it is covered on a certain part of the tree, that portion on which it is spread, that becomes dry. That parasitical plant derives all the life from the branches of the tree on which it is spread. Similarly, mind takes strength from the soul and has that soul covered up. We are not able to see God. So Master tells us what to do. Just control your mind. Then he says, what to help you on the way? He says, just leave out all infirmities. All whatever shortcomings you have got in the way of violence, hatred, and lies, and other passions. If you do that, do what are good. There are five things. There's hatred. By have what you have love. If you have got anger, have what you have forgiveness. If you are impure, lusty, have what you have chastity. So these are the things, you adopt those good things and leave off these things. Zoroaster was asked by people what should they do. He said, join the army of God. And he was asked, what is the qualification required? And he said, righteousness. And he asked, what is righteousness? And he defined good thoughts, good words and good deeds. So ethical life is the stepping stone to spirituality. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We live up to the virtues and leave all vices. That will help us to just control your mind for a while. And whatever wrong you have done, repent. Wash away with the tears of your eyes of repentance. This is the way prescribed by all masters who came in the past, and we should live up to them. So, generally you will find we have got full of passions, greed. What else? You will find lies, deceptions, usurping on the rise. Well, not just thoughts, thinking evil of others. All the time, all these things go to fill in this cabin of the man body with all filth, with all dirt. How can you expect a king to enter a place, a cabin, which is full of dirt and filth? So that is why all must say what you do. You just have the pure hearts. Well, if you get your bodies clean, you wash it from outside, then all right, cleanliness is next to godliness. If within you lies all the filth and the bad odor, we should also cleanse the body within too. So this is what all masters say. They say, Kavi says, if a fish, even if that enters the most sacred river, Ganges, even that by living in that water, that cannot leave off bad odor. So it is not the cleanliness of the body outside, but cleanliness of the heart within. And that is the way that I now lay before you to get this inner clean, you see. That, you see, bodily we have just, used toilet press millions of dollars every year. But that's not the outer purity that draw the attention of God, but the inner one. He is after finding out any holy place, any heart full of love, full of His thought. But our hearts are full with worldly thoughts. We're thinking evil of others by usurping others' rights, squeezing others' blood, by lusty thoughts, hate it, and so on. So we must keep our hearts pure. So for that reason, what have we to do now? That is what I just read out from Bible. You should become Gurumukh. Gurumukh word means to be always keeping your master before you. When he initiates you, gives a little experience of the water of life and the bread of life, the very moment he resides with you and never leaves you, that is the Christ power in him, the God power and the Guru power which never dies. He never leaves you. I said, I shall never leave you till the end of the world. And all masters say, it is the God in him, in that the Son of Man, that is the true master, that when that takes care of somebody, will never leave him until he takes him to the feet of the Father. So he says, for that what you should do, you just come in contact with God and be always directed like the needle of the compass towards north. Always thinking of the grace of the Master. As you think, so you become. And I told you, what is the Master? It is the God in him manifest. That is the Master. And we have regard for that human pole at which that power was. But all the same, you will find all Masters differentiated these things, the Son of Man and the Christ in man. So, what to do then? When you live up to him, what he says, he says, what he says, live up to that. And you will find the truth which is clothed in light, the truth which is the symphonies of the music of all harmonies, which is the outer aspect of the God in action power, which is called Word, and Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. This is the way, whether you live in one religion or the other, that makes no difference. Remain. Man is social. He must remain in some social body. But while remaining in social body, to remain there are good actions. You will have reactions of the good. But to know God, to have the water of life and the bread of life, which will quench your thirst forever and appease your hunger forever, that is coming in contact with the God power, with the light and sound principle, which you have at the, as a gift from the Master. And we must live up to what he says. Well, this is today's subject. I think that will do if you live up. The Masters never come to break one religion and start new. The truth is already there. Just live up to them. If you live up to them, everything is all right. What is the music of life gives us, and what, I say, this light, as such that we can see or not, can we come in contact with that? What do we need? And how can we have contact with that? That will form the subject of tomorrow's talks. Thank you.